Well, let's now move on into the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning with the first verse. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Now we're going to have some instruction about the priests, who of course came from the Levites or the tribe of Levi. They were to have no part nor inheritance with Israel. As Israel went into this land and conquered it, and as they divided the land up into portions for each of the 12 tribes, Levi got no part nor inheritance. Now just think of that for a minute. Here's a whole tribe that got no part nor inheritance. Their situation was quite different from that of the rest of the Israelites. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. Now, rather than having the inheritance of land and possessions like their brethren had, they had the Lord for their inheritance. The Lord was the one that they worked for. The Lord was the one that they looked to for all of their blessings. And they could not count earthly things here as a part of their inheritance. You know, this had to have changed somewhat after the Babylonian captivity, maybe by tradition. Maybe God set up a plan for it to change, because we read, you know, in the book of Acts where Barnabas, who was a Levite, he had certain land and sold it and donated the possessions or donated the money from it. But these Levites were not to have any part in our inheritance. Today, we are priests. And although we do have earthly inheritance and earthly possessions, not that God has divided up a portion and given it to us like he did the 12 tribes, but we are allowed to have possessions. We must remember that primarily the Lord is our inheritance too. We today look really to the Lord as the one who is going to provide for us. Not for the fact that we're going to be able to heap a big treasure up for ourselves that'll hold us and stand us in good stead against any and everything that might come along. The Lord is our inheritance. So we, like those priests and those Levites, we work for the Lord first. That's our primary duty and obligation, because the Lord's our inheritance. We're really sojourners in this life. We're really pilgrims, just passing through, looking for another place, looking for a city like Abraham was. And so our stay here is rather temporary, and we realize it. And so we do not become entangled with the affairs of this life. We're warring a warfare. And consequently, our first duty, our first obligation is to God, just like the Levites was. Verse 3, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks, and the maw. Now, as I understand from Leviticus, they also not only had the shoulder, but they had the breast. The shoulder, the breast, the two cheeks, and the maw was the stomach. And I've tried to look these words up and see if they mean anything else, and this is all I can get out of them. Cheeks mean cheeks, and maw means stomach. Verse 4, the first fruits also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So they were to live off of the things that were given by the other people. They had a portion of all these things that were tithed. They had a portion of these sacrifices, the ox and the sheep. Now verse 6. And if a Levite come from any of the gates out of all Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose. Now it seems what this verse is saying is, if a Levite that dwelt in another part of Israel decided that he wanted to go to the place where the Lord shall choose, which ultimately was Jerusalem, where the tabernacle was, and later where the temple was, if he decided to go to that place, and left his original habitation, whatever city that was, then, verse 7, he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. So those who were ministering there before the Lord were to make provisions for and to make allowances for this new priest to come in and to also minister with them. They couldn't say, no, it's our turn. We're going to get all the offerings now because we're doing it now. They had to make provision for this one who should choose to come in. They shall have like portions to eat. They would have to share what they had with this other priest. Now some interpret this as a new priest coming in. Others interpret this as a priest that was through with his turn serving in the temple, and he didn't have to be there, but he decided he didn't want to go back to his original place and he wanted to stay in the temple. And the last phrase of verse 8, besides that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. So he got to share in the food, in the goods that belonged to the priests. Besides, he also got to keep the things that came from the sale of his patrimony. Now, his patrimony happened to be any of the things that he acquired from his father, from his family, that he inherited from them. Now, they couldn't have land, and they couldn't have an inheritance like the other tribes, but they could acquire goods. And so the things he accumulated from his father, from his inheritance, when he decided to go into the priesthood, when that was sold, he got to keep that in addition to getting his portion as a priest. Now, you know the practice of the apostate church, Catholicism, changed this. When a person decided to go into the monastery and become a monk, he took all of his possessions and donated those possessions to the Catholic Church. He didn't get to keep them himself. But the priest, it was different. He got to keep the things from the sale of his patrimony. Beginning in verse 9, we have another subject now. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now here we have another lesson on idolatry. We get it ever so often in the Old Testament, but we're giving another lesson on it now, and this is going to be rather informative and interesting. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now the one thing that we have to learn here is that it doesn't matter how enticing, how popular, it doesn't matter how much in style or in vogue it is, we are not to pattern our worship after those round about us. We must not let that happen. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now this making his son or daughter to pass through the fire is a reference to those who served the god of Moloch. And this Moloch was an idol that represented the sun. And in order to worship him, they built a fire and caused the son or daughter to pass through the fire, and some of them even offered their sons or daughters in sacrifice to the god in that fire. Well, he says, you're not to be doing anything like that. He forbid them to do that. Or that uses divination, and this divination is a practice of trying to obtain knowledge by inspiration other than from God. Getting some kind of knowledge, whether it be foretelling the future, whether it be interpreting a dream, whether it be predicting something that was going to happen from some other source other than from God. And, of course, a lot of these terms overlap now that he names here. Or an observer of times. The best I can find about observer of times, it's to be an observer of the clouds. And it's here again, it's some way of using a method of obtaining prophecy, predicting the future, foretelling events, that comes from some source other than from God. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. All these are similar things. This consulter with a familiar spirit would be a person who would have contact with the spirit of a dead person. And it's called a familiar spirit because he became so well acquainted with the spirit of the dead person that he would be able to have easy communication with him. Now, whether any of this was real or not, it doesn't say. Probably for the most part, these are absolutely fake, pretentious acts. The nations round about them did this. And God forbid his people to have anything to do with it. A wizard or a necromancer. Now, a necromancer, again, was a person who could make contact with the spirit of a dead person. Talk to a dead person. And there are so many, many things that this could be involved in. Any kind of sorcery. It makes you wonder, how could God's people who knew the true and living God, who had prophets, who were able to perform miracles, who had the Word of God, who had everything so perfectly and meticulously laid out for them from the true, spiritual, living God, how could they stoop to these dark and ignorant ways of the idolaters? How could they do it? And we could ask ourselves the question today, how could we do it today? But it includes so many things that we come in contact with today. Such things as fortune tellers, gypsies, palm readers, astrologers, foretellers of future events, those who would use spells to cure diseases, such things as the tooth fairy, having contact with the spirits of the dead. And I even wonder if it would include such things as praying to the saints, magic, haunted houses, witches and voodoo and witch doctors. Any of these things are just hundreds of things that if we just sat down and really observed all the things that people do, hundreds of things that people do, and some of them practically daily things that are the things that he forbid here. You can look in the newspaper and look at the signs of the year in which you were born, and it's going to tell your little paragraph as to what's good for you that day, what's going to happen to you that day. Well, we know this is just a bunch of absolute nonsense, but look at all the people who read that, who place some kind of little faint significance upon it, and God forbid it. He says not to learn the ways of these people round about you, and he names all these things. And if you want to go look up the meaning of each one of these words and see what all it involves, you can see exactly what we're talking about here. And it was also forbidden in the New Testament. We can read about it in the book of Acts and see that it was forbidden. In Acts, the 8th chapter, there was Simon the sorcerer. And he had a lot of power. The people really looked upon him as being some kind of a god and as someone with a lot of power. But when Simon the sorcerer looked and he saw that it was through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he wanted to have that power and he asked for that power. And Peter told him he was just in the depths of iniquity. He told him to pray for forgiveness. And Simon asked Peter to pray for him for forgiveness. You see, although he seemed to have so much power as a sorcerer, when he obeyed the gospel and he saw the power that the apostles had, it was nothing compared to what he had. And he wasn't a sorcerer anymore. He could not be a sorcerer. It wasn't anything that was compatible with Christianity. Verse 12, he says, "For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." All of these things were an interference between them and God. It was a thing that caused the people to be unfaithful to God. They looked to these other things for some kind of power, some kind of spiritual influence, some source of spirituality. And it's not to be. We're not to look to these things. We're to look to God. He said, you're to be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. He just does not permit it. He does not allow you to do this. And so we cannot afford to allow ourselves to even have a hint of any of these other spiritual things having any kind of significance. Here just the other day, there was a family missing in Dallas. And they hired this man to come in and to walk over the place and use his special powers to try to determine what happened to them. And as far as I know, he didn't come up with anything that was any good lead at all. And we have accounts of people who would go to fortune tellers. There's an ad in the